I've been pastoring here for just about, I'm in my 10th year, and I met Joe when I first came here. And as the Lord would orchestrate it, that was about the same time that Joe came here. He came from BC just shortly before I came to St. George's. And so I know this man really, really well. We've known each other for 10 years. You guys know him really well. I've watched him as he has served faithfully, leading our youth group in different times and in different ways, investing and caring, leading them to Jesus, teaching them to be more like Jesus, more like the King, and less like the world around them. I've seen Joe care deeply, even to the point of tears, about the youth that he serves. Joe has served our AV team. He has given so much of his time to that. And not just in this sort of perfunctory kind of way, like, oh yeah, yeah, AV. He's a man who cares. Did you know that about Joe? He really cares about this stuff. And so I've watched him grow as a leader in the church and in serving, and then to become part of the executive council a few years ago, and to lead us in that way. Let me tell you, in those meetings, first of all, we are blessed by the people who serve on executive council. We've been graced with good people on our executive council. And Joe is a godly man. Joe's a man who serves with great wisdom. He's the man who in our executive council meetings says things like, whoa, 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 hold on a second. Let's pray about this. You know, he's a good man. And if you've known Joe for as long as I have, you'd know that he's an excellent friend. At different times when I needed a friend, he would come to my house and watch movies late into the night and not do anything like weird, like hug me or anything, you know? But he'd be a good friend. He just knew how to be a good friend. He would text me and say, hey, let's get together for lunch today. He would come over to my home. He's just a good friend. Do you know what I mean by that? And if you know Joe really well, you know that he's an engineer. And as an engineer, I think one time about 8 years ago, he had a feeling. No, I'm just kidding. Joe, you're one of the most tender-hearted men I've ever known. You're sensitive. You care about people. You care about the Lord. Over the last 10 years of pastoring here, there are a few moments that stand out as significant. And one of them that I will never forget, was the time when Blair needed a new liver, and Joe said, take mine. Do you guys remember that? It was the picture of one man potentially laying down his life for another man. It was this picture of sacrificial, selfless love. And you know the amazing thing about Joe? He didn't even tell most people that he was doing it. He did it as an act of service. And in that moment, Joe showed us a picture of Jesus. I can stand alongside you, Joe, today as you're being ordained to the diaconate with full confidence, without any reservation, and say this is a godly man in our midst who serves. Now, you may be wondering what this means. Let me tell you a few things that it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that Joe and Carney are going to leave and go pastor another church. Okay, that's the first thing it doesn't mean. Joe's going to be serving here in our midst. The second thing that it doesn't mean that we're going to be paying him. So don't worry about budgetary implications. He's going to continue to do what he's always been doing, because that's what deacons do. They serve in the church. And so in some ways, today is profound and huge. Joe, you will only be ordained a deacon once. It's a big deal. It's a huge moment when you will feel Charlie's hands come on your head and he will pray God's blessing, he will invoke the Holy Spirit, and you will be recognized as a deacon in the church. It's a big deal. It's setting aside Joe in a very special way. But in another sense, and I say this with all due respect, today is kind of no big deal. Kind of no big deal. Because while Joe is being set aside in this service for this ministry, each and every one of you are also called to be ministers in God's church. Joe is not being set up as a deacon so that he can do all the work and we can watch him. Joe is being set aside as a deacon so that we can see a clear example of the ministry that each and every one of us is called to do. So it's kind of no big deal. The passage that we heard read this morning was Isaiah 6. And Isaiah 6 is programmatic of Christian calling. It shows us how God calls his people to ministry. It's this great passage where theologians call it a theophany, where God appears and human beings see God. It only happens a few times in Scripture. The first thing that I want you to see is that Isaiah sees God and is called to his service ministry in the year that King Uzziah died. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That's what Isaiah says. Now, you have to know the history of God's people to see why that's important. At this point in the story, they have been brought into the land. They've had a whole series of kings, but the kings have just sort of gone from bad to worse. They should have been ruling as God's vice regents on earth, showing the nations what faithfulness to Yahweh looked like. Instead, the kings were selfish. They were idolatrous. And the nation is spiraling out of control. By the time Uzziah dies, the northern kingdom has already fallen and into exile. So Isaiah's task and Isaiah's role is going to be to call them back to faithfulness. But it was the year that Uzziah died. And Uzziah was actually a good king. He was a king who pressed the nation back to faithfulness to God. During his rule, the nation prospered. Because he was faithful. Well, he wasn't faithful all the way to the end. At the end of his tenure, he went a little crazy. He was a sinner like the rest of us. And so Isaiah is looking at it, and you have to feel the weight of this moment on Isaiah's heart. All the hopes and dreams of a faithful nation have been dashed with the death of King Uzziah. This is a moment of great pain and suffering for Isaiah. It's in the year that King Uzziah died that he sees the Lord and that he's called to ministry. He's called to a service. Well, friends, Christian calling is often formed in the crucible of pain and difficulty and hardship. Because I was talking to someone recently, and you know, I won't mention any names, but I get teased a lot. I'm often told that I have the best job in the world because I only work one day a week and only 1 hour of that day. I won't mention any names. But you see, Christian service is actually not a good job. It's actually not a good job. It's really hard. It's really difficult. I don't want your sympathy or your pity. That's not why I'm saying that. It's hard work. It's hard work not in the sense of like shoveling a hole or manual labor where you break a sweat. It's hard work in a different way. It's hard work because you labor under the yoke of trying to lead people to Christ. You labor under the yoke of your own insecurities. You labor under the yoke of this culture that tries to tell you that as a pastor, you have to succeed. You have to have numbers growing. You labor under all of these things. It's hard work. It's hard work to come to a place where you realize that you serve the people, but they're not your master. You have a master. Christian ministry is hard work. It's hard work whether you're the rector of a church, whether you're an associate. It's hard work if you're serving in the nursery. It's hard work. And it's only if your calling has been through that formative time of hardship and difficulty that your character is shaped and you can endure in service. Well, Joe, I know that your calling came at a difficult time in your life. I know that it was at a time like the year that King Uzziah died. And I know that your calling is real. But you know, when your character has been shaped and formed, then you can serve the Lord with joy no matter what situation you're in. We had our Car Free Sunday last week, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to embarrass you guys. I watched so many of you serve that whole Sunday afternoon, giving of your time, giving your comfort to serve your master and your Lord and to serve the community. But there was one case that really stood out to me. Ed and Diana, it's pouring rain, freezing cold. Do you remember last Sunday? Pouring rain, freezing cold. They've been standing on their feet for 4 hours with their hands in an ice cone machine. Freezing cold ice. They're drenched right through. You should have seen them. They have their little hoods on and little glasses peeking out from under their hoods. And the only thing more noticeable than any of that was the massive smile on their face. Calling people in and saying, "Snow cone anyone? Snow cone anyone?" And I thought, you know, that kind of joy in Christian service, that comes from a deep place. That's not just a superficial thing. That comes from a Christian calling that's been born and endured hardship and difficulty. Well, that's what Christian service is like. Character. Isaiah is called in the year that King Uzziah died. Second thing that I want you to see in verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim around him, each had 6 wings. They were covering their face, they were covering their feet, they were flying, and they were calling to one another, and they said," what? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." You see, true Christian calling is not only born in pain and difficulty, it's also born out of an encounter with the Lord. You'll notice that the angels were not all around him saying, "Buddy, hey you." What were they crying? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." There's this sense of this majesty in the weight of the moment. Isaiah didn't just encounter some hippie philosopher God who had an interesting way of being. Perhaps we should consider following him. When Isaiah was called, he encountered Yahweh, the Lord of heaven and earth. And it was that experience of the majesty and the holiness and the glory, the weightiness of God, that set Isaiah aside for his entire life as a servant. When we come to God, we cannot just come to him as buddy, but we have to encounter him as Jesus presented in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus who calms the storms, Jesus who casts out demons, Jesus who rises from the dead, conquering death. And in each of those cases, the disciples look and they were very afraid. You see, real Christian calling for service has to be informed by the holiness and majesty of God. Thirdly, verse 5, Isaiah's response. "And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts.'" True Christian calling begins with a clear evaluation not only of who he is, Lord of hosts, but also who we are. True Christian calling is about humility. When you stand in the presence of God, you come to see that you are truly not worthy. You are truly not worthy. You are truly not able. But the amazing thing is, the same King who calls Isaiah makes him able and strong, makes him worthy. And the Lord does that to us as well. Let me keep moving. Verses 9 to 13. Show us that the task before a Christian minister is not an easy task. In the New Testament, the Greek word for deacon does not occur as a noun. It only occurs as a participle. So there. You guys are looking at me like, what? Let me explain. When you ordain someone to the office of deacon, it's not about a lofty position or high place. It's a functional reality. They are not the deacon. They are the participle. They're the deaconing ones. They do that task because that's their thing. They are only deacons because they serve. They serve. And so you'd think that a calling that was marked by service wouldn't be that hard. You'd think it would be met with open arms and wide open reception. And yet, we see that Stephen, one of the first deacons, was martyred and killed for his faith. When you serve your Lord and Master, you will face hardship and difficulty. Now, we see it all the time. Christians are always the first to respond in cases of disaster and whatever need. And the world will stand back and applaud those moments. They'll say, well done. No one ever persecutes Christians for being the first ones to show up after 9/11. But the moment that a Christian servant says, I'm doing this because I have a Lord and Master, and that Lord and Master actually has something to say about the way you spend your time, the way you spend your money, and what you do with your life, enter the persecution. Christian ministry is hard work. Task isn't easy. Finally, look at verse 8. The response for Isaiah and the response for all of us must always be the same. The Lord and Master says, whom shall I send? And this morning, Joe is saying, here I am, send me. Now my prayer leading up to this Sunday was that not only would Joe have a profound sense of that when Charlie lays his hands on him, but that each and every one of us would feel that sense of the majesty and the glory of God. And each and every one of us would have that sense of unworthiness. Lord, how can I possibly serve you? You know the things that are going on in my life. You know how unclean I am. I'm unworthy. I'm unable. And that each and every one of us would feel made able and ready by the Lord. Each and every one of us this morning would respond and say, here I am, send me. Now, you may never be ordained, but if you want a list of ways you can serve, come see me after the service. The Lord is calling you. The Lord is calling you. You say, oh, I haven't been Christian that long. It's okay. The Lord is calling you. You say, yeah, but you don't know, RD. It's okay. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you. And your answer must be the same as Isaiah's. Here I am, send me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us even now to woo, convict, convince, to silence all of the yeah buts that are going on in our mind right now. Lord and Master, call your servants into service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.